Good evening, one and all. Yes, a Wednesday, and I think we might be getting some more bad weather here in Connecticut. I was just looking at something about a tornado storm. Whatever. Anyway, it's another Wednesday, and it's another day with me, Barry, and another book and a chat. Well, in the 1700 shows, I should think now it is, must be round about that. I lose track, you know, it's old age. But in these shows, there are certain shows, certain people, certain books that do stand out. For whatever reason, for just the how the show went, the effect the book has on you, and in some cases, like my guest today, it was just the sheer courage that got her to finally publish what has become really quite a cult book. Not just publish it just like that, because she'd been sitting on it for I think about 17, 18 years. About this, and it was based on her own life experiences, and it caused a stir at the time, and it's almost Salman Rushdie-ish as well with her, the sort of things it's got. And I'm sure you've all heard, who've listened to the show, I've mentioned her name so many times as an example, but now she's back, and we can catch up with her, find out what she's been doing, and the fact that. Well, it's a second coming in a way for her, but we better introduce her, haven't I, first, because. My guest today, and I'm ever so pleased to say, is the one and only Lucinda Schmidt. Hi, Lucinda, how are you doing?
Hi, Barry. I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Well, it's such a pleasure to catch up with you and have you back on the show. As I said during the introduction there are so many times I've mentioned your name on the show, and it's something that still stands out in my mind and my memory. Discussing with you your book, your book, A Separate God, which well, it must be about 5, 6 years ago at least, something like that. We were talking about it last, but great to have you back, catch up, and we'll talk about this second coming in a minute. But first off, the book basically is based around your life being raised in a an Amish family, right?
That's correct. Yes.
And a lot of people, you hear about the Amish and the families and stuff like that, and I know we went into all the sort of bits and pieces about the things last time, but what you basically opened to people who read the book was the sort of stuff that goes on behind closed doors, that goes on behind the faith, that goes on behind the front put up, how women, especially if I remember right, are treated.
A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl. It is a book that embraces the good, the bad, and the ugly. And it explores the many, many wonderful morals and the ethics of the Amish, but it also explores some of the darkness that happens inside the culture that is completely hidden from the outside world, that is. And I am either very courageous or very stupid, one of the two. And I wrote about it. And I had the first edition, which was published some years ago. Now, the second edition is published by a division of Simon and Schuster called Archway. And it's updated and revised with a different, much better ending, I feel. It's very polished. It was edited by a Simon and Schuster editor, so you can imagine it's shining now.
Right.
The first edition sold really well. The second edition, I think, will sell even better because my heart, when I was rewriting, my heart was more healed.
Right.
Than it had been with the first edition. I had so much healing, spiritual healing, and emotional, mental healing over the years that it's reflected in my writing. And it was just absolutely delightful and amazing working with the editor from the publisher.
Because when did... Sorry, go ahead.
Oh, she was awesome.
When you wrote this, as I said, I think it'd been on the shelf for like 18 years or whatever. I mean, you'd written it, and you'd written it basically from the heart. You know, you'd live through this. You'd live through an abusive family. You'd live through the fact that, you know, your own family, and your father was an elder, wasn't he, and that.
It's important to note that my abuse did not happen in my immediate family.
Right.
I have absolutely amazing parents and brothers and sisters. My siblings and I and my parents are now very close. Back when the first edition came out, I was still being shunned.
Yes.
Which is a common practice among the Amish. But my family no longer shuns me.
Oh, that's good.
Oh, it's so wonderful. But my abuse started when I married at a very early age to an Amish man who his whole family was abusive, and no one ever knew. It just breaks my heart that it was kept so hidden. There was sexual abuse rampant. Mm. With the father, my husband's father, being a primary perpetrator.
Right.
It was appalling. And I just had, it was on my heart. And it was almost like God kept nudging me and saying, "You, this is something you have to do. You must be an advocate for these girls and women that are abused and never speak out. They don't have a voice." And so God said, "You must be their voice." So consequently, I wrote the first edition from a journal that I had kept from childhood on. And the reason I named it A Separate God is I used to ask my mother when I was a small child. I was always so curious. I'd ask my mother, "Do the people on the outside have a separate God? Because they can do things and wear clothes that we're not allowed to." And my mother would always just say, "You think too much." In the native language, she would say, "Du denkst zu viel," which is a High German for "you think too much."
Now, see, you had to think about this for, you know, you'd gone through it, you'd written it, you'd written the diary, and you wrote the book from it, to actually finally come out, for want of a better word, and, you know, in a different sense to what, you know, people think about it these days, but to actually open what you'd written, what you'd shared, to find the courage to let that be known as you say, it was just that voice that kept prodding you.
Exactly. Exactly. And, well, I have a deep faith in God, and I believe that courage was divine courage from Father God.
Yeah.
And I was the vessel that he used.
Right.
And so I did it with joy, and I did it with great relief. And then, last fall, I was contacted by, I received an email from this editor, and she said, we from Simon & Schuster, and she said, several of us here have been watching your book, A Separate God, and it just continues to sell. And we would be interested in speaking with you to publish a second edition.
Well, that's good. That's amazing when you got that, I bet.
Barry, I was just, I thought the email was fictitious.
Right.
I thought this can't be real. And so my son, my children are my best friends.
Mm-hmm.
My son, he's a mechanical engineer. He's brilliant. And I really respect him and trust him. And he looked at that email, and I said, probably just a scam. And he said, no, Mom, that is a Simon & Schuster letterhead.
Yeah.
You need to write back. And so I did. And the rest, as they say, is history. It just all came together so beautifully.
Now this second version, if you like, second edition is actually under a different name, basically to avoid a lot of legal stuff, I'd have thought.
Absolutely. Yes, you are correct. This is a big boy publisher.
Mm.
I mean, this is a huge publishing conglomerate. And so they assigned to me another German name, Elizabeth Kaiser, to prevent litigation. They don't mess around with that.
Right.
And the first edition was published by a much smaller publishing house, and they apparently weren't that concerned about it. But this time, they would not. I was not allowed to have an author portrait on it, and I'm publishing under an author name.
Right. Because I know one of the things that there was before, and was some concern to you as well, obviously, was the fact that, you know, whereas a lot of people thought it was wonderful that you've been able to write down things and share with perhaps an environment or something that these other people were having to go through, and you know, you're a hero. You know, you've opened the door, and I can see where, you know, you've given me the faith and the hope to get out of this sort of environment myself. But at the same time, there are other people, perhaps within the Amish faith, that were very angry with you.
Oh, you have no idea. My book was forbidden by many Amish bishops.
Wow.
Forbidden. The parishioners were forbidden to read it. And the interesting thing about that is, when those bans went out across many Amish communities, the sales just soared.
Yeah. No.
So somebody was buying it on the first edition, and I anticipate that the second edition will also be banned in some communities.
Yeah.
I don't know that for sure, but I would not be at all surprised.
Oh, no. I mean, we always used to say in England, if you want to get a number one hit record, get it banned by the BBC. The best way to do it, you get your record banned and you end up number one. But in your case, it was like the people were banned from reading it. And, you know, people
it
were...
It became forbidden fruit.
Yeah, yes. And a lot of people, partly because of that, but partly because, you know, a lot of these people know what goes on. You know, or they've been part of it.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely they know. And I have been contacted through the years after the first edition came out. I don't know. And the second edition, I've already been a girl from Fort Wayne,
mm-hmm.
Indiana, somehow got my number. I think it must be on my Facebook profile. And she called me. And, my heart just broke for this young girl. She wept. She just wept. And she said, thank you so much for being brave enough to write about this. My heart just went out. So I went to visit her.
Oh, lovely.
Oh, it was wonderful. And to protect her identity, I won't mention her name.
Of course.
But she was just delightful. And she was molested for a lot of years during her childhood by her own father. And it just breaks my heart. I wept with her.
Yeah.
When she called.
I can imagine in a way, you know, she'd been through this. She started reading your book, and she said, "I can see, you know, think of us reading it. I'm not on my own. Somebody else has gone through it. Somebody else has gone through it. Come out the other side. Been able to share with people. Been that much stronger."
And
that's sort of just reading that with you, obviously, gave her the strength as well.
And that is exactly what she said. And I said to her, "You, Mary, you can rise above this. You can rise above this. There is so much strength that you have that you don't even realize." And so I kind of became her mentor, and now we speak frequently. She has become a very dear friend. She's my protege.
Okay. Do you find? I mean, obviously, as you said, you know, the first time through, you know, it was a healing thing. It was a very courageous thing to do. And then you were saying the second time, when you rewrote it, were you able to face things a bit more, not from a different angle, but with a slightly different view?
I was able to be a bit more objective.
Okay, yes.
Because I had risen above it. I now have a beautiful life and a successful life. I praise God. probably 500 times a day, I just say, thank you, thank you, thank you. And I'm so overwhelmed with gratitude for the strength that I got from my faith.
Right.
I have no time to murmur or complain because I'm just too busy saying thank you.
It's funny. Go ahead. Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was going to say, it's funny. We had a Jen Slumack on the show yesterday, and she's written a book about, again, it's about herself, but about her sexuality within against the faith. Her father was a priest, and she's a lesbian, and how she had to fight one against the other and come out and using alcohol as a crutch and all this sort of stuff. And the thing is, 5 years ago, these books would not have been able to come out, or they'd have been, people wouldn't have been openly able to say this stuff. These days, people can talk about it. And because people can talk about it and bring this stuff out, it heals as well. People don't feel like a leper.
Oh, exactly. Well, that girl, my hat is off to her, that you just spoke of. Mm. I applaud her courage.
Well, I think that's it. And as I said at the very beginning, what you did and what you basically went through, afterwards as well with it, very courageous. You stand out to me as a very courageous lady in all the shows I've done. But not just that, it's just your attitude as well, because even in your normal work, it's looking after people and helping people. It's something that's within you. To share yourself with these people.
Yes, I have a very caring heart, and I love being able to give people a hand up.
Mm.
That makes my heart sing. It's joy for me. I love that.
Now, I remember when the first book came out, there was a little bit of fear on your part.
A lot of fear.
Have you sort of come to terms with that, or is it still there worrying you at the back of your mind?
Well, I'm far more objective now. And although, I'll give you an example. My father, who I'm very close with my parents, they no longer shun me. And I believe that they know that a second edition of A Separate God has been released. But they never say one word about it.
Interesting.
Never.
Interesting.
And neither do I. Because I respect where my father's an Amish bishop.
Right.
So I don't want to create any awkward situations for my parents. And so I don't talk about it, and neither do they. But the only thing my father ever said is I was at a gathering with them, and he introduced him to a friend, one of his friends, and he said to this man, he said, "This is in German, of course.
Yeah.
This is my daughter, Lucinda, and she is an RN." And then with almost pride, he said, "And she's a published author."
There you go. So the pride's
and
there,
that
yes.
Is the only time I have ever received any acknowledgement. It's awkward for them because they know that even though it embraces all the beauty of my people, the Amish, it also explores the darkness.
Exactly. Well, I know that I, as I said at the beginning, and people who've listened to this show all these years know, you know, your name comes up a lot, and I'm, you know, very proud to have had you on this show myself. It's, and as I said, and I'm not saying this lightly, it's a show that I will remember, you know, I'm sure for always.
Thank you. It
was a special show, and I know we sort of chatted afterwards as well for a bit, but it really is. And it's been absolutely fantastic having you back on the show to catch up and to find out about this second edition.
You.
But what I'm going to do now, anyway, is, Lucinda, is hand the show over to you so you can tell everybody where, of course, they can find out about you. And, of course, the new book with the Simon & Schuster.
I am so sorry. Could you repeat that?
I'm sorry. I'm going to hand this show over to you so that you can tell everybody where they can find and see about the book and the fact about the second version of the second edition of the book, where it's available and things like that.
All right. Well, thank you.
So, second version is It's A Separate God is the book, right?
A Separate God, Journal of an Amish Girl, and it'll say second edition on its hardcover with a jacket that has a picture of an Amish girl, and it's blue. The first edition was more brown toned. This The new one is blue toned, and it's hardcover. It's also available on Kindle.
Oh, right.
And it is front and center on Amazon.
Great. And
just
of course,
go to Amazon.
You've got to remember that it's now written by Elizabeth Kaiser, Kaiser. So people are looking for you.
Elizabeth Kaiser, Kaiser.
Well, thank you so much, Lucinda, for being a guest on the show. It's so good to have you back. I'm sure continued success with this book. It's the story that people are going to read, I'm sure.
I would very much like to come back. My second book, Spirit Damage, Journal of an Amish Girl 2, will be out also within this coming year.
Oh, well, we'll get you back for that, definitely.
Okay. All right.
Right, you're on. We'll get you back. I'll find out about the second book, but so much thanks. I'll sort something out with you, and we'll get you towards the end of the year, so that's great.
I'm so honored to be a guest on your wonderful show. Thank you.
Thank you, and thank you for, you know, what you've done to help people as well along the way. Great success with the second edition, of course, with the new one, and we'll get you back on the show for the new one. So thank you very much.
Thank you as well. You have a lovely evening.
And you. Bye-bye. Well, there you
bye-bye.
Go. My guest today, Lucinda Schreiker-Smith, but as her second edition, it's come out. It's out under Elizabeth Kaiser, Kaiser. And the book is A Separate God. It's a book that I highly recommend to everybody. It's one that will make you not only think, but, you know, I don't even know how to describe it. It's just a special book that you read and you see the power that this lady and the love that she's able to produce within this book, yet what she went through before she was able to write it. Anyway, that's it for this week. I'll be back on Sunday with my two music shows. 5 to 6, we will have Those were the days. Music from the 20th century with, of course, our comedy spot. And, as always, finish with our slowie. And then from 6.30 to 7.30, solid minutes of the British invasion. Music that invaded America from England. But until then, as always, we have one thing left to say. Don't forget...